Welcome to another exciting episode of Not in a Creepy Way, the podcast where the Brothers Anderson will dig deep into the movies. The Brothers Anderson are... This is Eric.
And by the way, you know, when you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
This is Brother Jay.
You ask me if I have a God complex. Let me tell you something. I am God.
This is Drew.
There is a storm coming like nothing you have ever seen, and not a one of you is prepared for it.
So sit back, close your eyes, and let us take you away. Unless you're driving, in which case keep your eyes open and watch the road and, you know, anyway. Welcome, this is Eric.
This is Brother Jay.
This is Drew.
And tonight we're going to talk about the 2001 Tim Burton film, Planet of the Apes. Thank you, Boyfriend Jesse. Let's start with Boyfriend Jesse. What did he think of this? And why is he not here?
He's not here because I'm punishing him. He's chained in the basement right now.
Okay, well.
He said that he remembered it being better when he saw it in the movie theater some time ago. So.
I can understand that. I don't think this is... I think this movie has some interesting stuff in it. I don't think it's terrible.
You don't?
We'll get there. I think it's terrible.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's terrible too.
Okay. You don't think it's beautiful?
I think some of it's beautiful. I think some of it is awful.
The design? Like the costumery?
Some of the design, some of the makeup and some of the costumery was great. Some of it was crap.
Huh.
There was not a good mix. Having Helena Bonham Carter look like Michael Jackson for most of the movie was very distracting for me.
Actually, I thought she was one of the best parts of this movie.
I actually thought she had a great performance. I didn't realize it was her.
Yeah.
I admit that that in itself, because she wasn't Bonham Cartering it all up. So
yeah, this might be one of her most mellow performances.
Exactly. Yeah. That was going to be my point. So kudos to her. Great performance.
I thought Tim Roth was great.
Yeah, I would agree.
I wanted more Tim Roth.
I thought Paul Giamatti was wasted and was in another movie.
Wasted like intoxicated, or they wasted his talents?
Maybe both, but mostly his talents were wasted.
I have opinions on Paul Giamatti in this movie. They have mellowed, though, since I've seen it a second time. But let's start out with just your first impression. So was this the first time you saw it, Jason?
Yes, I've never seen this before.
Okay, and what was your first reaction?
I had really high hopes. In the beginning, I thought, wow, this is really science fiction-y, and they're really going at this universe in a different way. And then it got a little preachy, and then it got a little ridiculous, and then there was just... acrobatics after acrobatics that were unnecessary to the story. And the third time there was giant leaping ape acrobatics, I was done.
Drew, when did you see this movie for the first time?
I think I saw it when it first came out on video. And my memory was that it was fine. Like, I didn't have strong opinions about it. So I've always kind of thought that it got a bad rap as being like the worst Planet of the Apes movie. Because I remember I had tried to watch the original movies and I pulled the ripcord after the second one many, many, many years prior. So when I watched this, I thought it was fine. But watching it again, it's terrible. I hated it. I hated just about everything in it. I thought the apes looked good. Like, they spent a lot of money making them look good. But I thought the entire direction of the movie, like, they just seemed so smug and self-satisfied with all their little ape tics that they obviously went to, like, ape boot camp to get right. It's just too much. It's too much. They were really proud of themselves. You could tell. But it really wore on me really quickly. Like, we get it. You're apes.
Do you think it was the type of over-the-top stuff that we encountered when we rewatched Tim Burton's Batman.
Oh, there was a lot of it. Yeah. There were a lot of similarities to the stuff that no longer works for Batman in this movie.
I think for me, and I'll agree with Brother Drew, I think for me, it was part of it was the fact that they had so many ticks. Seems like evolution, the evolutionary force would have eliminated some of those ticks, especially because they were being portrayed as more human than ape. So the ticks would have mellowed. I would have thought they would be less ape-like and more human-like, but I guess that's presupposing a certain preconceived notion of evolution. So,
well, you're definitely was Homo sapien centric.
Of course.
Yeah. I'm going to end up, since you guys have much stronger feelings about it than I do, I'm going to end up defending some things in this movie, but I have some serious problems with the beginning of this movie.
You mean like the opening sequence was a total ripoff of Batman?
Well, there's that. Actually, I kind of like that because I like the whole... I like the costumery of the military apes. But no, actually, it's a little bit after that. But shall we just dive in then?
I kept getting horribly distracted by the fact that their red pointy hats made them look like Travelocity Expedia gnomes.
I can understand that. So I sort of like ape army as Pope kind of costumes, which is kind of interesting.
You know, at least they didn't have the, you know, ape cannot murder ape, so.
Well, they tried to do so much. Like, I admire them for trying to include things like, well.
You know where, and this is total spoiler, you know where I threw in the towel at this movie? Can you guess what point?
Charlton Heston.
That was it.
Yeah.
Hmm.
That and the quote.
Yeah.
Charlton Heston was bad enough, but then throwing it, and then I was done. I was like, you have dropped to the lowest, most egregious, disgusting level of pandering, and I'm done. You've lost me.
Well, okay, here's my initial notes. I thought this really was a very stylish movie. I thought it was a feast for the eyes.
It was very pretty. It was a good visually. It was a good visual.
Yeah.
The story and the acting.
Yeah.
Is where it falls apart.
That's exactly where my next comment is. That Mark Wahlberg is he's not winning any awards for his acting in this, and neither his other model turned actor co-star Estella Warren. I mean, she's doing a very Linda Harrison-esque bad performance, I think. And I don't even necessarily think it's her bad performance. I think it's probably direction.
I agree.
They were coaching her to be Nova?
Kind of. And you know there was an ape named Nova in this. That was the girlfriend of the fat guy.
I'm surprised they didn't name him Taylor.
Well, that's the thing, is that there should have been an ape named Taylor. I thought that Chris Christopherson was playing himself.
Yes.
I thought Paul Giamatti, who I thought I was really irritated with him the first time I watched it like a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, maybe a month ago. When I watched it again last night, I thought it wasn't nearly as bad because I was going into it wanting to hate on it.
Now, are you sure that just wasn't sleep deprivation?
It could have been. Yeah, he's really shticking it up, which is not good. A more subtle performance.
He was in another movie.
Yeah. And Michael Clark Duncan.
Are we sure that Paul Giamatti's a good actor?
No.
I don't know. I really liked him in Sideways.
He plays Paul Giamatti, which is fine. I mean, I like Paul Giamatti.
Pig vomit.
So we have Michael Clark Duncan and Charlton Heston, who I said they deliver lines. And then I wanted more Tim Roth. I thought Tim Roth was great. His character wasn't great, but he was great.
Nah, he was like the most smug of them all with the ape ticks.
There was that. But again, I think that may be just direction. Although I like the idea of the ape boot camp, though. That they were just got entirely too up their own asses about this. So, the movie starts in 2029. aboard the United States Air Force Space Station Oberon, where Leo Davidson, Mark Wahlberg, works closely with primates who are trained for space missions. His favorite simian co-worker is a chimpanzee named Pericles. Now here's where my rant starts. Why? Why are they orbiting around Saturn? Is it Saturn or is it some other planet that looks like Saturn? Why would they send a primate in a spaceship when a drone would be much better? These weren't especially smart primates that I could tell. They certainly weren't adept. I mean, he's basically...
They were genetically engineered.
Yes, yes. That's, yes. We were given exposition to explain all of that. But why would you send a chimp up instead of just doing a drone? If this is really a situation, as it was, again, told in dialogue, exposition, that it's the coal mine and these are the canaries. That is horrific. And I'm gonna stay right here and say I'm against it.
Also, why would they need to pilot?
Exactly. Why? You could do it all through drones. If they got to Saturn. Also, why were they there in the first place? I mean, the magnetic storm came in there and that was all unexpected. So what were they doing? Makes no sense. Here, go
out. Science stuff.
Go out, take a left, and then come back. You know, we told you how to do it. You want a treat? I'll give you a cookie if you flip two levers and hit two buttons and come back. That's not necessary. There's nothing necessary about that. Again, unless they are testing the effects of some sort of crazy radiation on a living being, in which case, like I said, I am against it. Against it, against it, against it. I hate this grunt bunch of humans.
I'm sorry that you hate progress.
If you didn't have him, though, you wouldn't have him to be able to rescue at the end.
Oh, I... Yeah, they shouldn't have been there.
No, I know. But they had to shoehorn in a rescue point somehow.
Yeah, I thought they were trying to be clever, but also, it still didn't work.
And rather than being clever, they were lazy in their writing.
Yeah, I mean, I was so angry at this part.
Rather than coming up with an imaginative way to accomplish a rescue, like in the first movie, or I should say the second movie, where they come back, they use the chimp as a MacGuffin.
Yeah, good point. And also, Eric is frozen. So I watched this movie early because I just didn't have enough apes in my life, and I could not wait to talk about it. I could not keep it in my brain for another week. So I appreciate you being flexible enough to move it up.
No, I'm happy to get it over with, if for no other reason than it's been gotten over with.
I can't wait to share this of my audio with you, because there's a point where Jason's talking, and then it sounds like you had some sort of narcolepsy and landed on a Casio keyboard.
They were lazy in their writing. Like in the first movie, that movie where I'm back,
nice. Okay, so I hate the science in this movie. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. So we have this deadly electromagnetic storm coming to the station, and they want to send Pericles out to investigate. Because he probably actually wears a diaper and shits himself. That's why we need to send that guy out there. But Mark Wahlberg doesn't want anything to do with that because he thinks it's a man's job, blah, blah, blah. They send Pericles out. They lose contact. We lost the chimp. So Leo, Mark Wahlberg, decides to jump in the craft and go after him. Okay, so we're back. And I'm still angry at this movie. We had some technical difficulties, and so I'm going to be a little bit irritated about this. But so Leo grabbed the pod and went after the monkey. Couple things about Leo I don't like. First of all, what's this pod going to be doing? Does it have arms on it to grab the other pod and bring it back? It does not appear so. Does it? First of all, you know what I hate? His fucking helmet. He's wearing a leather members only jacket and a t-shirt and just throws the helmet on there. Yeah, the helmet's supposed to do something, right? It's supposed to be like sealed or something. No, it's just atop his head as if he's wearing like an upside down fishbowl on his head. It's ridiculous.
That's what you find ridiculous?
Yes, that's why I didn't like this. From the very beginning, I'm like, I did not like Leo.
Okay.
Leo's a jerk.
Where I drew the line was the fact that this is a military type outpost and they are so lax in their controls that anybody can launch a vessel.
Well, yeah, that's the other thing. But yeah, they're military, but they're also science.
I'm sure Brother Drew could speak to this better than me, but anyone who's working as a civilian around a military facility gets overridden or controlled by the military.
Oh, no, no. He's a military member. He's wearing bars on his thing. He's a member of the military.
Yeah, but he's an ape jockey.
Listen, these things are so sophisticated, a chimp can drive them, so...
A genetically modified chimp.
Yeah, I see no evidence of that.
There is none.
Yeah. Are they talking? No. So then we get down to this planet.
Was this supposed to be Earth, or was this just some planet?
This was just... Also, where did the fucking planet come from? Was it by Saturn? Wouldn't we have noticed it by then? Is he traveling through time and space, but then later in the movie, spoilers, he goes back time and space exactly the same way?
Yes. I mean, you get to see the time movement.
Well, because his clock moves, because that's how clocks work.
He didn't go back to Earth, though, right?
Well...
At the very end, you mean?
Yeah.
He went back to a version of Earth, but he was in some kind of wormhole, so he came back to an Earth, but not necessarily his Earth.
You are making lots of leaps in that. This was never discussed in the movie. He just went through some purple flashing lights and ends up, and his little clock went whizzing past.
They were near Saturn, and then he landed in some Earth-like planet.
Extremely Earth-like, in the fact that he could breathe and stuff.
And there were horses and apes.
Yes. And the same physics and gravity.
Yes. Very convenient.
And the same climate.
Yeah. Just a couple of different chemicals in the atmosphere could have changed that whole trip. Just a slightly different level of gravity. You're right.
And the fact that the space station ended up embedded in it. So.
Yeah. Yeah. That's also a part that I didn't like, but I understood at least what they were trying to do. But we go down and it very much, you know, I did appreciate, again, the set design was a lot like the original movie, you know, the little carts and stuff. Of course, that could have been more from the second movie, but still, the carts all looked about right.
They could have been the same props for all we know.
It was so heavy-handed, though, like all the snide comments from the apes.
Well, there again, this is the same kind of not very cloaked social commentary, except this was even worse. This was even less well done than the first two movies.
Well, and also, these humans could talk and everything.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with these humans except that they didn't wear very nice clothing and they were slaves.
But they're reproducing prodigiously.
Well, too prodigiously, but you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was not here for the humans or the apes in this movie.
Oh, well, why were you here then?
Because boyfriend Jesse, apparently.
I guess, yeah.
I was waiting for that. I tried to get him to record some comments, but I think he feels really bad, so.
Well, he shouldn't feel bad. I mean, again, this movie was trying to be good. It was trying to be a popcorn movie. It was trying to be the original Batman. And... We have the wonderful acting talents of Estella Warren from Kangaroo Jack.
She was great in that.
Then we have some, apparently she's in some interesting, English TV shows, British TV shows that have to do with vampires and or zombies. Yeah, and then we have David Warner from Titanic. We've got Tim Roth, who we love from, he was an Oscar nominee for Rob Roy, but we love him from Reservoir Dogs, Pulp Fiction, and Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead.
Yes, we haven't done that yet.
You're forgetting the Incredible Hulk.
Yes, yes, indeed. We have Michael Clark Duncan from The Green Mile, but, and of course, you know, Paul Giamatti, and there's some other little cameo things. I mean, we have Charlton Heston that shows up.
My favorite was actually Helena Bonham Carter's bodyguard dude, the Japanese actor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He was the one who I thought had the most charisma of anybody in the whole movie.
Yeah.
He wasn't overacting.
No, he was very
subtle.
Understated. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. He was probably the best actor in this movie.
The movie is problematic.
Yeah, I don't understand what was going on with Tim Roth. Like, what was his ultimate goal? Other than just world domination for the sake of world domination.
Yeah, I think he's just a megalomaniac. He wanted the girl, and he wanted the power, even if he wrestled it from his dad. His dad's cold, dying hands. Although, it's funny, I was thinking that he was going to kill Charlton Heston, but he didn't. He just waited till Charlton Heston died. Mm-hmm. So, a straight up but coward villain, too. And then the whole thing about how apes don't swim, I don't know if that's real. Could be. Who knows? It was very cartoony.
It was convenient.
And I know I shouldn't be criticizing a movie about dominant race of apes as being too cartoony, but still.
And boyfriend Jesse had a point in the movie where the humans are trying to escape initially, and they're running through the bedrooms of all the people, and the mating ape couple jump to the chandelier, and he's screaming like, "The chandelier wouldn't support that weight."
Well, remember, the apes are the dominant culture, so they.
That's what
things.
That's what I was saying. I'm like, yeah. No, they would have engineered it because they have Paul Giamatti upside down preening himself. So, you know,
I'm just thinking, you know, if we would have run into the rec room at inopportune moments, mom and dad could have clung off of that pool table light. Don't imagine it. Don't imagine it. Anyway. Moving on, since mom and dad might be actually listening to this podcast on their vacation, so moving on, not telling inappropriate jokes about our parents. Moving on. Yeah, so I guess what happened, spoilers, what happened is the big space station went after all the both little pods because we don't just cut bait and run, apparently. Or maybe they got sucked into it, we don't know. They did not go carefully explaining that part of it. It crashed down on this planet, but it would travel through space, but not time. So what happened is there was a mutiny and all the super smart genetically modified apes took control. Very sketchy.
But yeah.
When you give it thousands of years, I guess you can forgive a lot in several thousand years, but
it was nice to see that the nuclear reactor was still active after thousands of years.
It was nice to see that the monitor still worked. That was impressive.
Yeah. Even the hand scanner thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good design. Good engineering behind that. Bad science.
Kali Ma.
So, yeah, exactly. Well, that's a ridiculous thing that it goes through the series, so I get that. And I didn't mind the Charlton Heston thing where he talks about damn them all to hell, blah, blah, blah. It was fine. Remember, maybe he had health problems at that point, so I'm just saying.
Was this his last movie?
Oh, I don't know. That would be sad. Although, again, I think it's still up in the air whether he is a good actor or not.
He was amazing in Tombstone.
He has an awesome presence, this man, and a good voice.
Oh no, he did four movies after the Planet of the Apes.
Good.
Also he was uncredited.
In this movie?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Well.
He was in The Order. Don't know anything about it. The voice of Ben Hur in the 2003 Ben Hur.
Wait, The Order? Was that the Heath Ledger movie?
I don't know. He played Josef Mengele in Rua Alguim 5555, my father, whatever that is. And he was Trogul in Genghis Khan, The Story of a Lifetime. That was 2010. So.
Wait, he was dead by then.
I'm just telling you.
Hmm.
Maybe they didn't release it.
Maybe not.
I mean, clearly that's what happened, but.
So, yada, 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 ape fight, human fight. We got Estella Warren actually trying to do some action stuff, which is probably fine. It's good. It's empowering stuff. Helena Bonham Carter isn't a strong female. She's more of the, I guess less kick-ass, but fine. She did a good performance. People read their lines. Paul Giamatti was there strictly as comic relief. Except there was a lot of comic relief.
Here's the one thing that could have saved this movie.
Studio fire?
No, when Thade is Tim Roth, when he's trapped in that, I don't know, cockpit, wherever he was trapped at the end.
The bullet should have ricocheted and killed him.
Yeah. Yeah. But when he goes up to Helena Bonham Carter and like puts his hand up, this is the one thing that could have saved the movie. If she just looked at him and put her hand up and was like, "Do you like apples?"
But by the way, the Charlton Heston movie, The Order, was starring Jean-Claude Van Damme.
I think the world was waiting for a Van Damme Heston movie.
That sounds awesome.
An out-of-control train holding hostages and high-tech bioweapons, Agent Christoph Van Damme becomes a one-man army to derail the terrorists and save the lives of everyone on board.
I'm going to go watch that movie tonight.
I know.
A little side note, I was listening to Dumb People Town, the podcast, and I like Daniel Van Kirk a lot, but sometimes his impressions, like he's basically leapt to fame doing a really good Mark Wahlberg impression, but I'm kind of done with it. And but there was, I think he was the one who did the impression of Kris Kristofferson, but for some reason they decided to call him Jeff Stofferson. And it made me laugh out loud. It was pretty funny. So, yeah. So, anything else about... Okay, the end.
Yeah, makes no sense.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense at all. I mean, and why... it just... I mean, I like what they did. I like the visuals at the end. They had a big visual like twist like they did in the first movie. So, I respect that. But... it just... And his helmet.
So
really pisses me off.
He went, at the beginning of the movie, he went forward in time and landed on some not Earth planet, right?
Yes.
And at the end of the movie, he goes forward in time again.
Oh, that I see. I got the impression he went back in time.
Yeah, because it was the Washington Mall.
Yeah, he went back to present day. But he didn't go back to present-day Saturn. He went back to present-day Earth-ish.
Except it was an alternate Earth.
Yeah, because of he was skipping through space and time and dimensions.
Yeah, because it was the...
But it was a monument to Thade.
But yes. It was the Lincoln Memorial Thade.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but a much more advanced society than he had left.
Than the ape planet he left?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's on the same planet, right? Just he went further into the future?
Ah, see, I thought he went to Earth, yeah. Which is why this movie sucks.
It makes no sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the planet, the ape planet, was not Earth, and he went back to Earth.
But why are they apes, and why is Thade there?
Again, I think it's that whole... Einstein-Rosenberg loop business where it's an alternate, you know, you have different dimensions, different universes.
Hold on. It's Gwyneth Paltrow sliding doors? Is that what is happening?
It's the jade egg and the steaming pussy thing.
That went a different direction than I expected.
Which is now almost a catchphrase of yours.
I was going to say, so did Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah. So, again, I thought this movie was a feast for the eyes. I just wish I didn't have to watch it with the sound off, maybe? On double speed?
Yeah.
No. Because goofy, gaping gangly Paul Giamatti would have made me, I would have just pulled the ripcord.
I would suggest that, I don't know. I mean, like I said, I didn't hate Paul Giamatti as much the second time. But I didn't like Kris Kristofferson any better, that's for sure.
Well, and the female, the human female lead, his girlfriend.
Yeah, no, Estella Warren.
There was no, and Jesse said, why did he kiss her? What was the point of that?
Because it's Mark Wahlberg and he has to prove he's not gay in every movie.
Wait, he kissed Helena Bonham Carter.
Yeah, but not with tongue or anything. Although she was giving him looks the whole time. Although that may have just been her Bonham Carter look.
So a theory from the internet is that after Leo left in his spaceship, Thade somehow...
Wait, hold on. Let me stop you. He left in his spaceship, which was not a time machine.
How do you know?
This whole planet is surrounded by some sort of crazy time wormhole magnetic thing.
Maybe he's H.G. Wells.
It's a pod. It's basically a surfboard. He gets on the surfboard and he paddles out past the breakers and all of a sudden he's in New York City. No. Except that New York City has a bunch of apes. And there's a cartoon chicken that's pretty funny.
It was Washington, anyway. D.C.
Yeah, whatever. You're right. I'm sorry. I'm not that sorry. Anyway, so sorry, but back to your internet theory. So he launches off in his space fucking time machine pod thingy.
Yeah, and then Thade somehow.
It's basically a Roomba. He's sitting on inside a Roomba. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Thade escapes his cockpit and takes a group of apes and flies off into space with them. And to go after Leo and lands on Earth anywhere from 150 to 3,000 years before Leo gets back and takes over Earth.
Excellent.
Total sense.
That person's an idiot.
That person might have been Tim Burton.
Also, yes, that could be very well be. I'm sorry. That person is maybe coked out of his gourd. And doesn't remember filming the whole movie. I don't know. No. Sorry. I'm sorry. No. That's what irritates me about this movie. All that money they wasted on making it look beautiful. None of it meant to making it make sense.
Have either of you seen the James Franco Apes movie?
I've seen parts of one of them.
No, I haven't seen any of them yet.
I really can't wait to see what you think.
Am I going to be angry? Do people just throw space hats on because they look like space hats?
I remember from what I saw, at least the special effects were good-ish.
Hats are important. Hats do things. You don't just wear a hat. I mean, sometimes you wear a hat, like, I don't know, if you're peacocking to attract a mate. Or maybe you're a bald spot, or maybe you're trying to keep yourself from getting skin cancer. But in a professional setting, you wear a hat for a reason. Pisses me off. Guys at McDonald's wear hats for a reason.
I'm not following your hat rant.
He was wearing a hat because it looked like a space hat. It had no function.
Oh, I see. I didn't realize we had gone back to that.
Sorry.
Gone back to it. We never left.
Exactly. Yeah, I've been ranting about this the entire time. You guys have been talking amongst yourselves.
Apparently, you're in a loop.
Perhaps. Which is why we need to discuss Primer again.
That's why you kept freezing up. You're actually catching up with yourself in the past.
No, it's because I was shaking so much. It just disrupted the Wi-Fi rays. Yeah, that's how that works. Fucking science. So, any other notes about Planet of the Apes?
This movie was awful.
I took lots of notes, but I think the I wrote the branding was a little jarring in this movie. I hadn't expected the branding Both times, by the way.
The branding of... Oh, no, I'm sorry. I thought you meant, like, product placement. Was there a Pepsi logo in there? No, yeah. You're trying.
I wrote in my notes, at least he didn't have an Alpha Omega missile, so...
True.
Did you notice the Wilhelm scream?
I did not. Which one was that?
The ridiculous Wilhelm scream during the big climactic fight at the end of the movie.
Do you think Chris Christopherson thought he was like still in a Blade movie?
Yes. Yes.
That poor dude.
Yeah. I saw a Dick Cavett interview with Janis Joplin the other day.
Wow.
And I was really impressed.
By him or her?
By her. I mean, she was definitely like a broken person, but really a lot sweeter just listening to her talk than like watching her sing is just kind of a... She's very energetic when she sings. But it would be like sitting, well, like having...
She was, anyway.
Yeah, well, not so much anymore, you're right. But it was interesting to hear her just chit-chat with him. That's all.
What did she think of the Planet of the Apes movies?
Well, you know, didn't Chris Christopherson write Me and Bobby McGee, or did she write that? Maybe she wrote it.
I don't know, but that's a deep hole. That's how you got to Janis Joplin.
Yeah, well, anyway. Planet of the Apes. I do hope the next ones are better. I heard they're great. I heard they're outstanding. I heard they're, like, legendary.
He did write Me and Bobby McGee.
Huh.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah. You want to give it a grade, Brother Jay? What's your verdict?
I'm going to give it... I don't know where to put this. I'm going to give it a C-. I think that's being generous.
Yeah, I think that's about reasonable. I might actually give it a C, maybe even a C+. No, it's a C.
Yeah, no,
best,
I'm not.
At best a C.
I would say this is almost a high D, a low C. It's right on the cusp. The Charlton Heston thing really, that really just, as soon as I saw, and Jesse didn't realize it was Charlton Heston, and I instantly, the instant I heard his voice, I actually paused it. Because
what were they going for? Were they trying to get the audience to go, oh, fuck you?
No, they were trying to get the audience to be, oh, what a juxtaposition. What an homage.
But how many of that audience probably even saw the first movie?
Yeah, exactly. Who was your audience? A bunch of 50-year-olds? Fuck you.
Yeah, unlikely.
Oh, I'm sorry. 30-year-olds. Fuck you.
I mean, they'd already done a couple of the homages, you know, with the get your stinking hands off me, you damn dirty human.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, you start out with that, you're going to just roll your eyes in the first 15 minutes. I mean, by the time you get to Charlton Heston, you're ready to just flip over the TV and call it a day.
Except that after watching Batman, I'm just surprised Charlton Heston didn't show up with a boombox. Spray painting shit. Or a big, long, telescopic revolver.
We haven't seen the other movies yet, so...
Yeah, I think you guys are being generous to this movie.
So you're suggesting it's not worth it?
No, I think the A-Team... episode we saw with Battle of the Planet of the Apes was actually easier to watch. It didn't look as good, but it was less head scratching.
It didn't look as good, but it is by far older than this movie.
It also made more sense.
It did.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Yeah, exactly.
Somehow it made more sense. Even though there were a bunch of cave dwelling, cape wearing, radioactive people in the movie.
School bus.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Oh, well. This had problems, so. I'd say take a pass on this one. You don't need to see it. It's fine.
No.
We've ruined it. By now, you've already heard everything that's cool about it.
This is an unexpected low point. Maybe, maybe of any movie we've done.
Well, I'm expecting to hope to like the next one, so I hope that that's going to be the case. So maybe not. If not, then Jesse really will have something to answer for. I tried to watch the Dr. Fibes movies again because of Vincent Price. I couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. It just doesn't work. Not for me. Anyway, anything else? Housekeeping?
R.I.P. John Mahoney?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, he started acting when he was 37.
Wow.
Yeah. Which still means he did it 10 years before I am now. So I'm still behind him. But good for him. What a charming guy.
He deserved better than having us do Planet of the Apes this week.
Well, maybe we can do a John Mahoney movie for next week. What is next week? Is it The Rock? Maybe he's in it.
I assume you saw Kelsey Grammer's tweet?
Yes.
No. I didn't. What did he say?
It was just a picture of John Mahoney hugging him. And all he said was, "He was my father. I loved him."
Oh.
Yeah.
He was in Primal Fear, which is on Netflix right now, I believe.
Yep. And on the calendar, I'm sure. At some point.
He was in The American President, which we reviewed.
Excellent.
Yeah. He was in the Hudsucker Proxy, which we should put on the list.
Absolutely.
He was in the Line of Fire, which we should put on the list. Yeah. He was in Say Anything.
Yes, he was.
I haven't seen Say Anything. Is any good?
Moonstruck. Say Anything's good.
My hand. That's my Moonstruck. Yeah. Anyway. Okay, so we got these boxes. Do we want to?
You got boxes. Yes.
Okay.
So,
we're ready to open them.
You're ready to open them, because I will give a shout out to. Well, you can open them. That we'll go. We'll go from there. No, you don't have to. They're not identical. Oh. They're similar.
Oh. Oh, these are great.
What am fantastic. I looking at?
So, you are looking. So, my friend is an artist, Scott Bailey, and awesome. He creates those. So, those actually works of art signed. I have a Trix one, which is actually a Crucitrix,
yes.
In my kitchen. And then for my desk, I have a little Captain Crunch one.
That's awesome.
So. These are your birthday presents for this year.
Excellent. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
But he sells these kind of on a limited basis as an artist to kind of support his artistic endeavors. So, I just wanted to support him, but also kind of share, which is why I asked you what your preference of cereals were of the ones I listed. So,
That is fantastic. Thank you so much.
And it's signed.
Yeah. Yes.
So it is a real piece of art. So take care of it. The Instagram, if you want to look it up on Instagram, is at Cereal Box Crucifix.
So, of course.
Yeah, it's all that and a bowl of milk is what I said in the tagline, which he's using. So. Made by my friend, Scott Bailey.
Awesome.
And his tagline is, "Vampire repellent has never been so sweet and corny."
It's very nice. So. That's great.
Is this from one single box?
Yes.
Yeah, it looks like it.
That is amazing.
He's got some videos on YouTube to kind of show you the process of what he does, so...
Yeah, you can follow it. As you look around, that is crazy.
Isn't it? So he does all kinds. He's like, there's some Booberry, and he was showing off some other ones. So I have a giant Trix one in my kitchen that I adore. So because it's because, you know, I call it the Crucitrix. So.
Oh, does he do like a Quaker Oats, like oatmeal, like granola thing or something?
I don't know.
Because it seems like that Quaker Oats guy would make a good centerpiece of the.
I could certainly ask. You can go to his Instagram and ask as well. So
cool, awesome, really good knife work.
Yeah,
it is impressive.
So, happy birthday! Enjoy.
Thank you. Excellent. So,
I'm helping to support the arts, as now you are as well.
Sweet.
So hopefully the idolatry isn't offensive to you. So
no, not at all.
Who doesn't like cereal?
I just stopped at Safeway and had a heart attack and bought 4 boxes of chocolate frosted flakes. So. This was after my purchase of the Frosted Flake Lucky Charms.
Yeah, I had some Frosted Flakes that had marshmallows in them, I think last year or whatever. Was not healthy for me.
No, none of it's healthy. God, no. You don't eat cereal because it's healthy.
No, but it was too addictive. That was the problem.
Oh, I was going to say, if you want healthy cereal, you have to eat grout with oatmeal. So.
Yeah, yes, yeah. Anyway, very cool. Very cool. Send your feedback to show@notinthecreepyway.com or call us on our new voicemail account to leave voice messages. Or you can text us at this account to leave text messages. The number is 425-243-9169. That's 425-243-9169. What are you waiting for? Put it in your phone right now, and then when you listen to an episode, you can just hit your contacts, dial it already.